One in two. That is how many people in Boston get their health care from a community health center, and it's a really high number. But also not that surprising, because back in 1965, Dorchester became home to the first community health center in the country. It was then called Columbia Point Health. It still exists today, along with 52 others in the Commonwealth. Now, the first rural community health center, Mississippi. And residents from Brigham and Women's Hospital are back from a visit there. The goal? Learn how the civil rights history that led to community health centers could teach better health equity today. Dr. Cheryl Clark is the Associate Chief of General Internal Medicine and Primary Care, overseeing research and strategic partnership at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and organized the trip. And Dr. Bryn Fallahy is a resident physician in internal medicine at Brigham and went on the trip. Doctors, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you both. I want to start with a definition of what a community health center is.
You know, this is a model that was developed to serve vulnerable populations. However, it's a model of healthcare delivery that is in some ways sort of the ideal model and that anybody would benefit from, regardless of sort of their socioeconomic status. It's a model of delivery where the different pieces of the healthcare system are sort of centralized, and you have providers that are addressing all of the aspects of human health in a holistic way and in an integrated way.
So that's the description of a community health center from Dr. Morgan Esperance, Associate Director of the Leadership for Health Equity Pathway at Brigham and Women's Hospital, obviously a colleague for both of you. Cheryl, how is that different from, you know, your local doctor's office or even a hospital like the Brigham?
Yeah, thank you so much for the great question. And so part of what community health centers do is that they provide care for the whole person, and they do it without ability to pay. So that if you don't have insurance, you can go to a community health center and receive primary care treatment. But community health centers also pay attention to something that clinicians and researchers call social determinants of health. And they're the ways that we get sick or become well because we don't have access to healthy food, to clean water. And so community health centers really put their arms around the entire patient in addition to providing strict medicines and medical care.
So, Bryn, that's a perfect lead-in. The trip was to Delta Health Center, and Dr. Robert Smith helped start it. He's a recognized civil rights leader, founder of the Medical Committee for Human Rights. And here he is fleshing out this idea a little more of taking care of the whole person or this social determinants of health.
The important thing is environmental factors that affect all of our primary health care. That has really snowballed, and the importance of environment in healthcare, what you eat, how you live, where you drink good water, workplace, all those things.
So, Bryn, you know, I taught in a school of social work for a number of years. We taught these issues for a long time. In some ways, how is this new? And what did you learn about it on your visit that will affect the way you want to practice medicine?
Yeah, thanks so much for that question. I think that So I think a lot of this is not new, right? I think the social factors that determine health have always been there from even the very early founding of what a medical school meant. But I think that there's been almost a resurgence and a powerful refocusing on the social determinants of health because of a lot of what came out during COVID as well. And during the trip, I think it was just an immense privilege to be able to learn from somebody who is at the forefront of the community health center movement, but also a civil rights leader like Dr. Robert Smith, who has honestly continually fought for not only his basic human rights and those of his community, but has also gone on to enact social change, including bringing health care to all sorts of people who were not otherwise being served in the Mississippi area and around the country. And I think that this was incredibly motivating because as physicians, I firmly believe that we also have to keep advocating for the health of all members of our city and our communities, and not let the social determinants of health, race, socioeconomic status determine who gets the highest level of care. And I hope that all of us took that back from the trip, and I really think that we all did.
What was the thing you saw on the trip that stuck with you the most, Bryn?
Oh, there were so many, and I actually I had a feeling this question might come up. So I went around and chatted a little bit with some of my colleagues who were on the trip as well, and I think that all of us were incredibly struck by this place called the Jackson Medical Mall, which is literally an old retail, an abandoned shopping mall when all these retailers moved out to the suburbs in central Jackson, Mississippi, founded by Aaron Shirley back in 1996. And what he did was he brought in partnerships with some of the local medical centers like Jackson State University, Tougaloo College, University of Mississippi Medical Center, and created a healthcare space where people could come to a clinic, literally in a shopping mall, all sorts of clinics. And it was designed to be a space where they serve the underserved community of Jackson for not only healthcare, but economic and community development. And they, it's hard to explain exactly what they've been able to do in a short radio segment, but everybody should go look up the Jackson Medical Mall Foundation, because they actually brought in economic development for their community, started programs. They have a program called Sing Jackson that works with kids and does vocal and dance performance. They have childcare. They actually have a little radio broadcasting studio, art classes, an elder day program, a food kitchen with cooking classes. And so I think that for all of us, this incredible community space, and I will say also that the people who run this incredible community space are creating the community that they want to see realized by supporting each other and building each other up in the space.
We're speaking with Dr. Bryn Fallahy, a resident physician in internal medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and Dr. Cheryl Clark, who's associate chief of general internal medicine and primary care, overseeing research and strategic partnership, about a look at the civil rights history of community health centers and how it can promote health equity today. A group of residents from the Brigham just came back recently from a trip to the first rural community health center, which was in Mississippi. So I'm going to stay with this Jackson Mall idea. You heard a little bit ago, we spoke with Dr. Morgan Esperance, also from the Brigham, just as struck as you were, Bryn, and can extend the list of what happens at that mall even further. Who would think it's possible, but it is. So here she is.
Kind of like a community health center on steroids. I mean, it's a place where you can receive primary care, but there's also so many other services that are there. There's dialysis, there's adult daycare, there's restaurants, there's businesses, there's subspecialty care, you know, radiation oncology within this mall, but also they provide transportation and medical visits. They have, you know, become community developers. They purchased properties and renovated them in ways very targeted to like what the needs of the community are. So bringing in banks and restaurants.
And Dr. Cheryl Clark, she went on to point out also affordable housing units around the mall. We are talking about a whole health, whole approach. Is that the goal? Is that the vision that Brigham and Women's has?
What I would say is that this is a vision that I think we should all pay attention to and that we should try to replicate across the country as we think about really the fundamental things that help us to be healthy, having safe places to live, you know, being able to have access to healthy foods. All of these things are a part of what we need to have it present as doctors. And that's in part why we developed the Leadership for Health Equity pathway within our Department of Medicine. We believe that all docs, you know, ought to have this sort of justice, social opportunity focus in their approach to taking care of patients. And there are specific docs, I think, who will really use their careers to advance this work. And our pathway created experiences like this and really helped to connect us, I think, to our history so that we can learn from people like Dr. Smith. We can learn about the legacy of Dr. Aaron Shirley and try to incorporate these lessons into the care that we provide.
So I'm going to stay with you, Cheryl, for a minute longer. I'm channeling my inner Michael Curry, who is the head of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers. We have an incredibly strong tradition of community health centers here in Massachusetts, 52 of them. One in every two people in Boston receives health care from a community health center. How are you learning from and working with that network and the civil rights history here in Boston that they represent as well?
Absolutely. I think there are two pieces of this that are interesting. One is that community health centers, in addition to having clinicians, also have folks who are not necessarily clinicians, but who are in communities and know their communities very well, like community health workers. one piece of the trip for me that was so impactful was also understanding the work of people who were not necessarily physicians, but who paved the way and paved the foundation for health. People like Hezekiah Watkins, for example. He was in some ways a very young person. He was 13 years old when he was sort of brought into the civil rights during Freedom Summer, and wound up being imprisoned for some of his work. The contributions and the just the bravery and the courage that he showed, and that people currently in Massachusetts show when they go out and they're advocating for their patients, is I think it's an important history to be connected to and to understand. In Massachusetts, I think that we see that, and we saw it play out very strongly during COVID. Community health workers, folks who were both clinically trained and not, went out in full force and put up pop-up sites and helped to make sure that all populations had access to COVID testing and vaccination. So we see this lesson sort of reverberated across the community health center model, and it has been so impactful across disease models for chronic disease, for COVID. Just really, I've seen this in Massachusetts, and it was so helpful to really understand a bit more how that model was designed and developed.
So Bryn, you're a resident. You're the focus. There were 16 residents who went on this trip to Mississippi. Dr. Robert Smith, the founder of the health center that you visited there, when our producer Amanda Beeland spoke with him, he also talked about a vision for health equity and what it could mean even in the future of Boston. Here's a little bit of that vision.
Improving the total lot of human beings, guaranteeing people have civil, social, political, and financial equity, but specifically building in this system. And we got a lot to do, as you know. As an example, I'm only third generation from slavery. So we just got a lot to do if we're going to be able to be competitive.
What's the mantle you want to pick up, Bryn Fallahy, as a doctor in this community or whatever community you wind up in? What is your personal health equity mission as you're being trained to focus on it in this way?
Ooh, excellent question. I think that there are so many pieces, but if I had to summarize it kind of in one mantle to take forward, is that the health of the body absolutely relies on the health of the community and the society around it. And as a physician, if I can contribute not only to those pieces that create the kind of biochemical health of the body, but really the social health, and build into that space as well and use whatever privilege I have as a doctor to kind of advocate for all of those elements that create health, that would be where I would want to, you know, really focus my time.
Cheryl, that's got to get you in your gut as someone who's trying to train future doctors in a different way.
I'm so excited and so proud of folks like Bryn and folks who participate in the pathway. I think it's, you know, as we sort of look around the country, you know, there are, you know, 30 million Americans who are able to get healthcare because of the work of folks like Robert Smith. And as I look at folks like Dr. Fallahy, I can just see what the future looks like. The continuity there is so strong, and I'm very excited about the future. You can hear the emotion in my voice as I get excited thinking about this.
Yeah, Dr. Cheryl Clark is the Associate Chief of General Internal Medicine and Primary Care, overseeing research and strategic partnership at the Brigham and Women's Hospital. And Dr. Bryn Fallahy is a resident physician in internal medicine, also at the Brigham. Thanks to both of you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.